The views expressed in this podcast are those of the commenters and do not necessarily reflect the official policy, position, or opinions of Zoom In Online.
This is Todd Howard, and you're listening to On the Circuit, a production of Zoom In Online. Find us on the web at www.zoom-in.com. At the 2008 Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, I was thrilled to have the opportunity to sit down with three of the most celebrated talents at this year's festival, Alan Ball, Peter McDeesey, and Summer Bashil. Alan Ball won the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay for the film American Beauty in 1999 and went on to co-create the acclaimed HBO series 6 Feet Under. He was at Sundance this year as the writer and director of his new film, Towelhead, which he adapted from Alicia Arian's novel of the same name. First, I had the pleasure of speaking with Summer Bashil, a newcomer to feature films, who delivers an absolutely incredible performance as Jazeera, the young girl at the heart of the film. Hi, Summer. Thanks for taking a minute to sit down with me here.
Hi.
Are you having a good time at the festival so far?
Yeah, I am. It's pretty cool to see all the snow and stuff.
How did you first hear about Alicia Arian's novel?
I first heard about the novel Towelhead after I had auditioned a couple times for the screenplay and immediately thought it would be helpful, and I was curious to read it and sat down and just plowed through it.
You got the script first.
I did. I wasn't even aware that it was adapted from a novel till quite later in the process.
Did you come into the process pretty late in the game? I heard that maybe you were cast sort of closer to production then. Is that true?
Not really. It was a pretty standard timeline. I auditioned when I was 17. I was about to turn 18 and started filming when I was 18. Maybe 6 months top from the first audition to filming.
How was it for you to have a leading role in a feature film that really deals with such intimate, private storyline and themes and disturbing subject matter on some level? What was that like for you?
It was great, and it helped being 18. If I had been 13, I don't know how I would have handled it. I don't know how well I would have understood her psyche or been able to look at her from a sort of removed perspective. So that helped. And the set was just warm and safe. So I was able to try new things with my acting. I hadn't acted much. This was my first movie, so there was a lot of experimenting with different things. I hadn't even really been in front of a camera more than like 7 days.
And how did Alan help you prepare for that and kind of jump into such a huge role?
Right. We had rehearsals that lasted probably 2 weeks, and I met with each of the cast member that I had a relationship with in the film, which was extremely helpful to meet them. And they were all kind people and helpful. I mean, I learned so much working opposite all of them. They're incredible actors.
Well, one of the things I noticed in the movie, and it's clearly part of why it works so well, I think, you created such a unique relationship with each of those characters. And throughout the movie, it's about Jazeera and Mr. Boso. It's about Jazeera and Thomas, mm-hmm. and these relationships mm-hmm. that, of course, all end up kind of really coming together. How did you cultivate those unique relationships with those other characters? Because Jazeera had such a different experience with all of them.
I would say every actor that I had a relationship with came with so much work done that it made it that much easier and gave me the freedom to explore her and the relationship more. You know, so I had a lot of guidance, you know, just because everybody I worked with was so great. And the novel helped tremendously. It was written from Jazeera's point of view, so I got a real insight to her character. If you read the novel and watch the film, it's so similar.
So did you find yourself bringing, you know, things that you read in the novel to the performance that weren't necessarily in the script?
I had some things that were in my mind, a narrative for her that hadn't been directly mapped out for me by the script or by the novel, but it wasn't like obvious like character changes. It was just more of a narrative that I developed for myself and sort of made my own so that I could play it.
So can you tell me a story from the set? What was a one day in the life of Summer Bichelle on the set of Towelhead?
Some hours were really long. I mean, I remember working like 14 hours. I was so tired, but I was so excited. Peter was a riot to work with. He's hilarious. So it's just constant laughter when he's around.
It's such a challenging script. Did you know right away when you read it that you wanted to play this role, or did you really have to kind of warm up to the idea yourself?
I never had to warm up to the idea. It was something that I fell in tune with. Also, I was auditioning for several projects, and this was the best script that I'd ever read, and I was just lucky to get an audition and be right for the role, much less get a call back or film it.
So why Towelhead and why now? I mean, do you think this is a good time or a difficult time for a film like this to be coming out?
I think it's a good time, and I think people are ready. There's always going to be people that don't want to see things that confront themselves or, you know, make them feel uncomfortable. But Hollywood's definitely open-minded. And, you know, this film was made and people are seeing it, and that's great.
Have you gotten to see it with an audience yet?
I did in Toronto.
What was that like?
It was surreal. It was just crazy. I mean, the whole process was crazy, just being flown out, getting a dress and, you know, the red carpet and interviews. It's still like, whoa.
Congratulations on the
Thank
film.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to sit down with me.
Thank you.
Next, I had the honor of sitting down with Peter McDeasy, perhaps best known for his performance in the role of Olivier in several episodes of 6 Feet Under. He plays Rifat, Jasira's father, in Towelhead. So would you tell me a little bit about your experience coming into the project? I mean, had you read Alicia Arian's novel prior to your involvement, or was the script the first introduction you had to it?
Actually, I had read the book before being cast or the script, because my agency like sent me a copy of her book just so I could be considered for that part. So I did read the book, and I was blown away, obviously. And then the script came along, and the casting process started, and I got the part, and then I read the book like 2 or 3 times again. And then I had an intensive communication with Alicia once we started prepping for the movie to understand the character and where he was coming from and what he did and how funny he made and what he did at NASA and all that. I mean, it was an intensive research on my part, and she was extremely, extremely helpful and open to answering all the questions I had, and I'm very grateful for that.
What were some of the things that you learned about the character through those dialogues that you brought to your performance?
How trauma could affect people's behavior and actions. You learn from your characters. You learn from the mistakes they make.
You've worked with Alan Ball before in 6 Feet Under. Loved your character on that, by the way.
Yep.
How was that experience different working in the sort of shorter form of TV, or maybe even in that project, given where you were shooting and where you were filming it versus this project?
Well, you know, TV is very fast. And then in TV, you get many directors, depending on what episode you're shooting. Whereas in the movie, we had the opportunity to explore more. We had time to, you know, be creative and explore the characters and have communication with Alan. And he was the director and nobody else came in. So that's very good, because sometimes you get like sort of thrown off depending on what director you're working with and what they have to bring into the equation.
Tell me a little bit about how your relationship with Alan began too on the project, and over time and through working on it, how that may have developed.
You know, I got cast, and after having gotten cast, I told Alan I'm very scared because he's very abusive. I mean, I just don't get why he hits her that much. And that was the first hurdle I encountered until I got to know him and what his history is and why he acted this way. And what was good about working with Alan is that he let me do that. He didn't impose his own ideas. And that's a blessing if you work with a director who's that way.
So this is such a challenging script on so many levels, and your character is very challenging, as you said. Did you know right away that you wanted to play this role, or did you have to kind of warm up to it some?
I thought I would be perfectly cast for this role, but I needed to do some work. It was not very available and accessible to me. Ethnically, it was right, but that doesn't mean anything. You still have to do the work. I mean, he's just a person, no matter what ethnicity he is. It's not about throwing an accent and changing your look. It's about the human condition, and that he had a lot.
How did you cultivate your relationship with Summer, the character, with mm-hmm. Jasira, and also your working relationship as actors?
The way I work with actors, if they're accommodating and if they're open to it, is that getting to know each other very well and trying to feel each other out and establishing a relationship. I mean, it's his daughter and they're close no matter what he does to her, but they're still close. So I had to get close with Summer. I had to make her trust me in some ways. We shared a lot of stuff and talked about a lot of things and hung out, and 16 hours a day is a good time to establish a relationship with someone. So that's very, very fundamental. I like to work as a team. I don't, you know, a lot of actors just do their work, they shoot, and then it's done. They don't have that. You need to act and react as well. You're not acting on your own. I like to act as a team. You know, it's a relationship.
Were there some particularly challenging aspects of the relationship working with Summer that you both had to work through or work over?
I was terrified about the scenes where I had to hit her. But then, you know, the stuntman was there and you ultimately do not hit her. So that was very, very calming that I didn't have to do that. But those were my biggest concerns, is like the physical abuse and how that's going to manifest itself on set.
So why Towelhead and why now? You know, do you think this is a good time or a difficult time for a film like this to be coming out?
I honestly do not think in these terms. I think in terms of, as I said, the human condition and what people do and what they don't do and why they do things. It doesn't matter who they are and where they come from. I mean, I understand that it's about Lebanese American and it's an ethnic minority. And with the political climate we're living in, that could be something to be aware of. But to me, it's all about the person's heart.
So what's next for you?
You know, I'm just reading some scripts right now and trying to figure out what's going to be next, because it's kind of hard to beat Towelhead. You know, so I would love for my work to stay at that level, if that's possible, as opposed to just thinking quantitatively.
Have you seen Towelhead with an audience?
I saw it in Toronto, and I know it's they have a new cut now that I'm very, very excited to see and see how the movie turned out to be.
Thanks a lot for spending some time with me.
Thank you so much, Todd.
And finally, I spoke with Alan Ball, writer and director of Towelhead.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking some time to join me here.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
So how did you first hear about Alicia Aryan's novel?
My agent called me, and he said, I just read a manuscript of this book that has yet to be published, and I think it's right up your alley. I think you should read it. And he sent it over, and I read it in a weekend, and I called him on Monday, and I said, I want to option this. You know, I don't want to try to take it to a studio or anything. I want to option it with my own money. I want to write a script on my own, and then we'll go out with it. Because I felt like you try to go through development with this story, it's just a, you know, that's an invitation to disaster. I had another script that I wanted to go out with. It's a much different movie. It's kind of a screwball comedy set in the 30s. But the story was so compelling, and it just pulled me in. I was reading it. I was thinking, oh, my God, it's not going to turn out good. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And then when it didn't, it was such a relief. And it's been a long time since I had quite that visceral emotional connection with a book that I've read. So I talked to Alicia, I called her and I said, you know, I've never directed a movie. I've directed a lot of TV, but here's what I love about your story. Here's what I want to keep intact. You know, I just basically want to just tell the story that you wrote. And we hit it off and she said yes. And went from there.
What were some of the challenges that you faced while adapting that book for the screen?
There were two really big challenges. One was condensing, because there's so much great stuff in the book. My first draft was 180 pages, you know, and I didn't want to lose any of it because it's so good. The second challenge was the book is all sort of written from Jasira's point of view. She, in effect, narrates the story. And I didn't want to use narration in the movie. It just didn't feel right. I'm not one of those people who believes that narration is bad. It just didn't feel like it was appropriate for this particular story. And then in terms of in the book, she's sort of talking about how she feels when she first looks at these magazines. And it's not lascivious. It's not sexual. She doesn't really connect that to that imagery yet. She just sees these women who are pretty and beautiful and obviously happy and having fun being naked in nature. So I had to figure out a way to try to convey that cinematically. But for the most part, the story was there, the world was there, those characters were there, and I was incredibly true to the book.
Now, her reactions to seeing those images, you used a lot of really interesting sort of film techniques to convey her little imaginative moments.
Right.
Did you experiment with a lot of different kind of looks or feels for those sequences, or is that something you visualized right away?
I wanted them to be like electrical flashes, like synapses firing in her brain, like some sort of new chemical connection happening in her brain. So I wanted them to be kind of abrupt and a little unsteady. And I worked with my cinematographer, who's really, really gifted and experienced cinematographer, and we came up with that.
Tell me a little more about that process, going for the look of the movie. Because, I mean, it's so beautiful. The tone and subject matter of the movie is really so heavy on the heart, and the imagery is almost soft and colorful, which is sort of like the young girl's life, who's our central character. How did you work with the cinematographer to achieve that?
I worked with Tom Siegel, the cinematographer, and the production designer, James Siegel. We looked at a lot of fine art photography. I wanted to really convey a world that was very mundane, but at the same time, I wanted a lot of it to take place in natural light, because I felt like what happens to her happens in broad daylight. there's a Buddhist concept of the miraculous within the mundane, and I wanted to try to capture that, so that's why I wanted to also, while those interiors are kind of bland and whatever, I wanted to capture also the miraculous nature of the story, because in a lot of ways the story is very mythic, almost in Joseph Campbell terms. I mean, you know, she sees that magazine as a call to adventure. When Mr. Woso finally just sort of takes advantage of her, that's her descent into the underworld, and she's obliterated, and then she's sort of reborn. And I felt like what was kind of miraculous about the story when I read it was you expect a story about a young girl who has an inappropriate sexual interaction with an older man. Usually you see that story, and at the end, there's a feeling like she's destroyed. She's damaged goods. She'll never have a healthy relationship with a man. She's going to be neurotic and screwed up for her entire life. What was so great about the book was not only did she come out of this horrible situation, but she was stronger. She had a really, for the first time, really sort of a true sense of who she was, and she was the person who was going to control her destiny and her body, and she maintained a healthy relationship with her sexuality. It was really surprising to me, and I thought that was a really positive message, because if you want to believe the statistics of young girls who have an experience of some sort with an older man that is inappropriately sexual, a statistics place it between 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 women. And that's an incredibly common experience. I know women who've been raped, and you survive, and you go on, and you can have a healthy life. But we love our women to be victims in our pop culture, and we also want to punish them still in this day and age. We want to punish them for being sexually curious. And I just felt that whole aspect of the story was really refreshing.
So what is it about stories that deal with such painful experiences that you think really attracts you as an artist?
You know, I've been through a lot of really painful experiences myself in my life, and I thought they were going to destroy me, and they didn't, and they made me a stronger person. And so I find myself not particularly interested in stories about people who are really well-adjusted or really functional, you know what I mean? I personally strive for that in my own life, but I don't necessarily want to watch it on TV or in movies because it doesn't, for me, it just doesn't ring true. And I find the other stuff more interesting. I think the people being placed in extraordinary circumstances or having to make really difficult personal decisions or struggling with bad instincts and making bad decisions, I just find that much more interesting and much more human. You know, whereas these perfect people who kind of know how to deal with everything, yeah, you want to strive for that in your own life and you want to have those people in your own life. But when it comes to stories, I'm more interested in, you know, I used the word mythic before, but like I love Greek mythology because there is room for every single aspect of human behavior in their concept of the divine. And that to me, I think, is more realistic.
So what's next for you?
I am working on a TV series for HBO called True Blood. It's about vampires in a very small town in northern Louisiana, kind of like Walmart vampires.
When can we catch that?
Well, if the strike is over soon, hopefully it'll start airing in the summer.
Well, congratulations on the movie, and thank you very much.
It was great talking to you.
Zoom In welcomes your feedback and story ideas. Write to us at zoomin@magnetmediafilms.com.
Thanks for listening. This has been On the Circuit, a production of Zoom In Online. Find us on the web at www.zoom-in.com.
This podcast is a production of Zoom In Online and Magnet Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.